With today's sermon, we conclude a 10-part series on the life of prayer. What the Bible has made manifestly clear is that prayer is a two-way give and take interaction. We contribute to the interaction by doing a variety of different things. We focus our attention and listen for God's voice. We praise God, thank God, confess to God, repent before God, argue with God, and ask of God. We submit to God's reign and offer ourselves up to His service. All these things we do, sometimes on our own, sometimes with the rest of the family, of the faith. When we pray, we give ourselves and our gifts to God. But more importantly, when we pray, God gives us Himself and His gifts. In fact, praying is far more about our receiving than our giving. When we pray, we receive a whole lot more than when we give. For when we pray and give everything to the relationship with this loving God, that loving God gives us His everything. And His everything is a whole lot larger than our everything. Thus, in this interchange that is called prayer, we end up way ahead. Let me today highlight just two of the gifts we receive through the interaction, the personal interaction between God and ourselves in prayer. First, we receive wisdom and power with doing of God's will. Second, we receive transformation of our character and our heart. First, in prayer, we receive guidance and empowerment. Consider the example of Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman rescued hundreds from the atrocity that is slavery and brought them into safety in the North. She did with a faith-filled dependence on God in prayer. To obtain God's leading step by step in her work of liberation, Harriet Tubman meditated carefully on all the scriptures she had memorized and listened carefully to the saints who had her back in support. Keeping her ears open to God in prayer, Tubman discerned the way forward in her just cause and obtained the strength to persevere in it despite all the difficulty and danger it involved. At the end of her life, Harriet Tubman bore this testimony. I pray all the time about my wife. Everywhere, she said, I was always talking with her. And while much of her work, by its very nature, was done alone, Tubman never ceased to rely on her fellow believers, particularly for prayer partners. And the enemies of those faithful saints has been lost to the annals of history. But God knows them well. And God will surely make it happen that they will have their share in her eternal reward for her work of liberation. Truth is, you will escape notice when we make contributions to the achievement of God's will. What goes unnoticed on earth never goes unnoticed in heaven. It is celebrated there. We who are faithful to whatever has been the job assigned to us are celebrated every day in heaven as essential partners in the full ministry and ongoing ministry of Christ in this troubled world. Between smallest bones in the human body are the middle ear ossicles, the malleus, the incus, the stapes, more commonly known as the hammer, the anvil, and the serpent. The hammer is so arranged within the inner ear so that its end is attached to the eardrum, while the other end forms a lever-like hinge with the anvil. The opposite end of the anvil is fused with the stirrup so that the anvil and the stirrup act in conjunction. Though the middle ear ossicles work in obscurity, completely invisible to the outside world, they are absolutely essential to our ability to hear. Without them, only 0.1%, not 1%, but 0.1% of the sound energy that hits our eardrums would ever be conveyed. Those tiny bones produce a side effect far beyond their diminutive size. The human body has no unimportant parts. Likewise, the body of Christ has no insignificant members. Every person who is a follower of Jesus Christ has an impact to make, however large or small it appears to their eyes, however visible or invisible it is to the world at large. Everyone who is in Christ has a vital role to play for the full functioning of the whole. Though some get no more notice than the ossicles, each is crucial and terribly significant. There are, in this sanctuary right now, some of us who once were, quote unquote, major leaders in the church. Are no more. But no longer having a prominent role frees us up
does not mean that we have no significant vital contributions to make, but rather we are freed up to make a contribution that is worth all the activity in the world. It is not those who jump to their feet to do this and that who accomplish the greatest things in the kingdom of God, but those who begin and maybe stay on their knees in prayer. More is accomplished in prayer than in all the activity in the world, and prayer changes the activity by infusing it with God's light and power. Prayer amplifies the sound of God's voice. Prayer makes straight paths of Holy Spirit before it. Prayer is light, transforming human activity into supernatural activity through which God does the most. By contrast, prayerlessness leads to wasted energy and expenditure of resources, even those expenditures that were made with all the best intentions. R. A. Tor once lamented, "We are too busy to pray. Thus, we're too bad and busy to have power for a life. We have a great deal of activity, but accomplish little. We have many services, but few conversions. We have much machinery, but few results. By contrast, prayer changes even the most modest doings into miracle-working acts. We are but gloves fitted on the hand that makes mountains move." In prayer, we receive guidance and power. Second, we receive transformation of ourselves in our character and our conduct. For when we pray, we draw close to God, and God's own character rubs off on us. And the truth is, even if prayer changed nothing in the world out there, it would change those of us who pray, recreating us into better people than we could ever make ourselves on our own. When we pray, we gain God's perspective, God's sense of what really matters and what doesn't really matter. As a result, we become courageous and determined in our labors of love and justice and witness. We make our efforts all about what is of eternal value, justice, compassion, and the testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we hardly count the cost of serving those eternal purposes, because serving those eternal purposes only costs us passing concerns such as wealth, popularity, standing in the eyes of other folks, or freedom. When we pray, we not only gain a sense of what really matters, but we also gain perspective on the course of human events, including the course of our own lives. We then become calm in the midst of our struggles as well as courageous. We then remain tranquil in the trials and troubles of this world, because we remember that God is ultimately in control, is always caring, and is always at work in everything for good. God then becomes the stable,
secure, serenity-inducing center to which we can return whenever we feel the need to catch our breath and get reoriented and get ready to take on the challenges that are hard to take on in all of us. The challenges to take on the service of this troubled world. Glory. When I was growing up, my favorite piece of playground equipment was a rotating disc about 2 feet off the ground that spun on a lubricated center, and that you made spin around faster and faster by pushing on its outside rails. You push on them as and faster and faster in order to generate enough g-force to justify jumping on, grabbing the rail, and if you were brave, hanging as far out from the edge as possible to experience the thrill of maximum centrifugal force. Of course, if you stay out there on that beautiful edge, you sooner or later get really scared and sometimes about to throw up. At which time, if you were sensitive, you would carefully crawl to the center of this. Now, you really do it. There are still a lot of big kids out there pushing with all their might. They are the center. No matter how hard they pushed, you feel safe in the slowness, the serenity, and the security of the center. Many of our lives are spent in the past part. We need a center like that to which we might retreat. A center where we can find rest and renewal of our capacity to test our limits once more and to try out a still more wonderful and exhilarating ride in life. Each of us needs to fix something and ask ourselves, who or what is the center of my being? Is it my family? My career success? My popularity? My forms of recreation? To pray. To do something countercultural. Is to center ourselves on God and to receive from His tranquil presence, peace, kindness, steadfast bravery in taking on life even at its edgiest, even at its riskiest, even at its most dangerous. But is there any place else better to be than where we can make a difference and experience how God sees us? As we give God our all, God gives us His all, His wisdom, His strength, His courage, His calm, and best of all, His companionship. Disconcerting challenges, but exhilarating challenges of living with Him and for Him and in Him, in the midst of all strife and suffering, trial and opposition. God is greater than it all, no matter how long we go, just to get to know Him. May we never lose our sense of wonder and awe over the greatness of your grace, over the exquisite and elevating privilege of being in a friendship with you. We promise to be steadfast in prayer, to know you as we never have before, to make you know that you have never been allowed to by our Jesus to do for your glory and the joy and fulfillment of our hope in Christ. Whose mercies we pray. Grace. Thank you.